I get to bring on now, first and foremost, a great friend. He is the author of Forever a Babe, The Men Who Were the Busby Babes, and Deepest Red. He is an incredible historian. He has been around Manchester United since a young man. He is Tom Clary. He joins us now. Tom, how are you?
I'm good, Glenn. It's good to see you.
You're going to be about good until I ask you the next question, because I can't get you, with your history with this club, could have felt good about fans breaking into Old Trafford and going on to sacred grounds.
Not at all, Glenn. I was absolutely, you know, it's abhorrent, really. Don't get me wrong. I'm as anti-Glazer as anybody else. The protest was initially peaceful, and they had every right to protest. But the actual damage that was done, forcing entry into the ground, the way that they conducted themselves once they were inside the ground, the injuries to the policemen and to some of the stewards, it's totally abhorrent and unacceptable. The thing with United is that this wasn't just a protest about the ESL, the European Super League. This was 16 years of pent-up emotions about the ownership of the club and the lack of direction and the lack of investment and the financial raping of it. But to do what they did, it was a minority of about 500 fans. And to do what they did was totally inexcusable, and you know, it's not appropriate at all.
And I can only wonder, you, Tom, with your history, and again, for full disclosure here, I went over, Tom had a testimonial dinner in the hotel right by the stadium. You saw some of the action around that. But I learned so much about Manchester United with you. But I did realize when I was in the stadium and you and me took in the Villa game that this was a stadium that is decaying. And this is part of the problem, is reinvesting it in infrastructure, paying down debt, the competitive side, all these other things that fans would like to see happen with the Glazers.
Exactly. And that is the crux of it. Since 2005, United have had an albatross around the neck of some more than £500 million. But not only that, the money that's gone out of the club, you know, in interest payments, in foreign currency exchanges, in dividends, and also, you know, the share issues where there's two tiers of shares, where the Glazers own the tier one shares, which have the voting rights, and anybody else with tier two shares doesn't have a say in the club. I mean, and it's the lack of any communication whatsoever between the club ownership and the fans. They've been silent, and they've treated the Manchester United fans with utter contempt and disdain. And this is what's led to the frustration. You can understand, I mean, everybody has a right to protest, you know, it's a civil right, and long may that continue. But to transgress that and to do the damage and to do the trespass, I mean, it's criminal actions, Glenn, and you can't get away from that. And unfortunately, you know, those actions have consequences, and the people who did this on Sunday, you know, they will face those consequences, as the club and the police have said this morning.
He's the noted author. He's Tom Clare, Forever a Babe, The Men Who Were the Busby Babes. I recommend you pick up his books. You can get them on Amazon and all kinds of places. Deepest Red, if you really want to hear the in-depth history, and you don't get the personal tour like I got, then you pick up one of Tom's books. They're absolutely detailed beyond belief, and the man has a memory that is absolutely remarkable. Okay, so yeah, I get the pent-up frustration. You know, I'm looking at those people inside the stadium. I'm looking at very young kids, obviously, probably alcohol-fueled. I'm tired of these events being co-opted by people for their own use. I'm thinking of you talking about Duncan Edwards, Best, Law, Charlton. I'm looking at the Holy Trinity surrounded by fans. And it does make your stomach turn a bit, especially if you've gone over there and visited it and understand in an even deeper way how big it is. You hit on something very important, though. Blazers have missed on connecting and listening to their base. And to stay out of sight, out of mind that long is just pretty remarkable to me. I don't think people understand, Tom, that Ed Woodward was the man who helped broker the deal for the Glazers to buy United, and then he was instituted in to run the club.
You know, that was the thing. Woodward was the Glazers' man. He brokered the deal that brought them to Old Trafford. Mind you, it cost them a lot of money, more money than what really they should have paid, because the club was overvalued when they bought the club. But you know, he came on board when David Gill retired, just before Sir Alex Ferguson. You know, and a lot of people will say to me, "Ah, yeah, but you know, look how successful Manchester United have been since the Glazers arrived." Manchester United were far more successful before the Glazers arrived. The success came from Sir Alex Ferguson. That's where the success came from, in spite of the Glazers. And we've seen since Sir Alex retired just which way the club's gone. You hit on a point there about the infrastructure around the club. I mean, it's not these days, even in the top 20 stadiums in the world, Glenn, and it is decaying. You can't even get a decent Wi-Fi signal in the stadium. The roofs are leaking. You know, they have spent in 16 years less than 100 million on infrastructure around the ground. You know, and it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. You know, the club is slipping behind.
Tom, you mentioned Sir Alex Ferguson.
Yeah.
And some of the former players, have they spoken out? And if they haven't, why haven't they spoken out more? Because their words carry a huge weight with a fan base.
Exactly. I watched some interviews yesterday and on Sunday, obviously. Gary Neville has been really outspoken. Roy Keane was outspoken. Even Jamie Carragher from Liverpool. The question I ask is, you know, why didn't they speak out 16 years ago? That's the question I ask. It's all right, you know, coming on board now and saying, you know, United fans, you know, they have this right and that and the other. These ex-players, you know, were silent for 16 years. At the time of the leverage takeover, I mean, Sir Alex said that he kept quiet because he had jobs to protect. And I understand that. I understand that totally. You know, but what has happened since? And of course, the outlook of the club has become a commercial juggernaut, nothing more, nothing less. And that's due to that's due to Ed Woodward. And I mean, they've been amazingly successful commercially, but they're lagging on other sides of it. You know, Woodward's outlook on it was that United didn't have to be successful on the field to be sustainable financially. Well, that's an awful statement to make.
You know, it's an investor statement.
Yeah, at the end of the day, when the basic thing is that Manchester United is a football club. Nothing more, nothing less. But the way the club is structured now, I mean, it's not even a British company anymore. It's registered in the Cayman Islands. The club's financial affairs, they're in Delaware, where you know, you can't get any transparency at all. You know, everything. Now, what's gone out of the club? 1.5 million or billion in interest payments, in dividends, in share issues and things. All that should have been reinvested in the club. And the club would have been greater for it. But each year we have these six siblings, five boys and one girl, who take these dividends out, who are quite happy just to take the money out of the club, not reinvest. And it's this that gets under the fans' skin. You know, I mean, they're not football people. It's as simple as that. And that's the problem with the game today. A lot of these owners today in the Premiership are not football people. They're there, you know, simply and purely because there's rich pickings to be had.
Tom Clare joining us. He's the author of Forever a Babe, The Men Who Were the Busby Babes, Deepest Red. He has been honored with a testimonial dinner right across from the stadium in the football hotel for all his incredible work for Manchester United. I call him a gatekeeper. He's a historian. He's a number of different things. What does the future hold? I mean, do you think this will stop? I don't think this is going to stop. And the question is, are they going to still try to disrupt games? Let's hope not.
Well, this is the worry about it, Glenn. I know for a fact that there are even more protests planned. the supporters trust us, has told me, you know, that there's still stuff in the pipeline. What happened on Sunday, my thing with it is, what did they hope to achieve? By breaking into the stadium, the only people that they hurt was their own people, the players, the club. What did they think they could achieve, you know, by doing what they did? Yeah, the game got cancelled at the finish, but who's to the detriment of that? Is it not the players? Is it not the manager? You know, all week preparing for such a high-profile game. You know, and you've got a feel for them. The business down at the Lowry Hotel where they prevented the coaches from leaving. I mean, it's just nonsensical, Glenn. I don't see what the aim is, what they hope to achieve.
Tom, let me break in here real fast because I know you and I have had the same experience here. Yeah. I've spoken to a lot of people who have absolutely no problem that fans broke into the stadium and that's okay and that's just part of the protest. And I disagree wholeheartedly.
Well, so do I. And to me, I mean, there's a policeman this morning that's in danger of losing an eye. There's one with a fractured cheekbone, one who's had his face slashed. Is that acceptable? No, not at all, not in my eyes. And people like this, I'll be honest with you, the police have said this morning that they will go after these people. And for me, you know, actions have consequences. And the consequence for me is that these people should be banned for life, that they should never be allowed inside Old Trafford again.
Club statement. What has the club came out and said, Tom?
Well, they're the same. They said, you know, people have a right to protest. They're happy about peaceful protest, but what happened on Sunday transgressed the lines, you know, and they will not stand for it. And you know, for me, I've got to give my support to it.
Yep. I know you've spoken about the Glazers for years.
Yeah.
Not reinvesting in the club. You've been very, 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 very open about that. Yeah. I just don't understand the lack of understanding of the base of the Manchester United fan and the history. You don't have to know the history. You only have to know that it means a lot to the fans, and that's what's stunning to me.
Yeah, the thing that saddens me more than anything, Glenn, is that the fan base gets fragmented again. You get those for, those against, and you're not going to achieve anything when you've got a fragmented fan base like that. You looked at the Liverpool fans, the Tottenham fans, the Chelsea fans, the Arsenal fans, when they protested, they did it in the right way. There was none of this nonsense, you know. And when I see young kids of 13 and 14 sitting on top of the goalpost trying to bring the nets down, when I see them, you know, messing about in the Stretford End, kicking balls about and everything, what in the hell do they think they're doing? What do they think they're trying to achieve? You know, I mean, but again, it's like you say, I mean, some of the pundits said Gary Neville had no problem with it.
Yep. Tom, listen, we're up on a hard break. Thank you so much for this. Getting your insight is incredibly valuable as somebody who grew up in Manchester and watching the Busby Babes. You are one of the greatest and you're a great friend of mine. And I thank you for coming on tonight.
My pleasure, Glenn. It's always a pleasure to speak to you. Yeah,
Thank you for coming on, Tom. Quick word here for FM Kitchen. And just remind you that their cocktails over there are the best. The food is excellent. It's FM Kitchen and Bar. It's right near Shepherd in Washington. It's a great spot. I go over there. I've watched a lot of games there as well. They have a huge patio. But if you want the combination of really, really good food with craft cocktails, great cold beer, this is the place to go. I'll tell you, outside is great. I bring my dog there. I sit on the picnic bench, and a lot of space, a lot of room. It's FM Kitchen and Bar. We thank them for being sponsors of this show. All right, we'll take a break. We have more to come. We'll be back in a moment.